Although the fine details of our Ireland hiking trip had been settled months earlier, the folks at Hike Bike Walk Ireland contacted me soon after our arrival on the Emerald Isle to suggest a change in the itinerary. Our group of six hardy hikers could skip a day of walking in the misty rain and instead take a boat to the Skellig Islands, a craggy collection of rocks poking forlornly from the Celtic Sea, 8 rough miles off the Kerry coast. Initially, I was reluctant to dedicate an entire day to seasickness. But there was something in the tone of the email that suggested this was an opportunity not to be missed. And so, foregoing my own well-being and thinking first of others, as I am wont to do, the boat trip was booked. We arrived in the sleepy seaside town of Cahersaveen on the fourth day of our week-long tramping adventure. Elaine, our local guide and constant companion, drove us to the dock, extolled us to have a lovely day, and cheerily waved goodbye. Like me, Elaine doesn't fare well at sea and was happy to keep her feet dry for the day. When we arrived at the pier, the sky was gray and the sea rough. There were a lot of anxious-looking people milling about the wharf. I wandered over to a fellow who was tying knots or scaling barnacles or some such other task that identified him as a mariner. He was in fact the first mate. I inquired as to how the boat ride might be. He turned to me, squinted, looked up at the sky and said, "It's going to be terrible." "How terrible?" I asked. "Miserable terrible," he said, with conviction. "Can things get worse than miserable terrible?" I asked. "Aye," said he, "there's awful terrible. That's when you puts your hand over your face as you leave the pub so the wind don't blow out your teeth." Reassured, I stepped around the back of the boat and practiced my best retching stance. Then I returned to the gangplank, stepped aboard and prepared myself for a truly awful experience. The 90-minute ride out was windy, choppy and exposed. The small boat roiled and rocked in the constant swell. But as I've learned from vast seafaring experience, the best method to prevent seasickness is to stand up, hang on and concentrate unfailingly on the horizon. This I did for an hour and a half and landed with a full stomach, which is more than I can say for the pretty young Dublin lass who, by the time the Skelligs came into sight, was heaving untidily over the stern. We weren't sure what to expect of the Skelligs, other than the rough boat ride, a lot of nesting seabirds and a steep set of steps up a cliff to some ancient Gaelic ruins. As we neared the tight landing at Skellig Michael, birds were soaring and diving in a feeding frenzy. "What are they?" I asked the first mate. "The big ones, those are gannets," he answered, "and the little colorful fellers, them are puffins." My wife Florence looked up from her knitting. Yes, she can knit unperturbed on board a dinghy in a gale. "Puffins? Did you say puffins?" "Aye, Atlantic puffins, ma'am, in breeding plumage." Florence was so excited she nearly dropped a stitch. She has yearned to see puffins for years. I thought we'd need to visit Greenland or Baffin Island or some other remote, inaccessible place to view these remarkable birds. And lo, here, on a last-minute Irish hiking side trip, the cute little cliff dwellers appeared in unexpected, colorful brilliance, full mating feathers on display. The small boat rocked queasily into the landing. The first mate, now my bosom buddy, quickly tied off as the captain helped us hop step onto the pier. Within seconds the boat was gone, back into the rough offshore sea, where she would wait, bobbing like a cork, for the 2 hours of our Skellig visit. We stumbled off the landing, regained our land legs, and looked up. A narrow exposed staircase carved into the uneven rock rose steeply upward and disappeared beyond the ken of craned necks. Access to the islands is forbidden without a guide. We gathered, regrouped and calmed down while our escort Sinead explained that Skellig Michael was inhabited by Gaelic monks starting in the 6th century then abandoned a few centuries later. These early voyagers carved a steep staircase directly into the rock. At the precarious summit 180 meters up they built a colony of stone structures where they lived a life of cold, isolated austerity, living off fish and birds' eggs, scraping a meager sustenance from the infertile rock. Sinead warned us the steps were steep and uneven, with no handrails, and that those with even an ounce of acrophobia in their veins should not attempt the precarious climb. Properly forewarned and with eyes cast downward to avert the consequences of a misstep, we began our slow ascent up the 880 steps to the monastery on the stony peak. as we climbed the puffins nesting mere feet away went about their business oblivious to our presence. These stout seabirds evolved in an environment lacking predators. With its magnificent ruins and endemic unworried birds, Skellig Michael is a perfect blend of Machu Picchu and the Galapagos. When we reached the top, the summit flattened into a small walled compound of beehive structures made entirely of stacked stone. And despite the absence of masonry, these lonely dwellings have withstood a thousand battering years of brutal Irish rain and wind. The opening scene of a Star Wars movie was recently filmed at Skellig Michael. An unfortunate byproduct of this Hollywood notoriety is a Star Wars chaser industry. Thus, many of our fellow tourists arrived on the island not to observe the stark beauty of a 6th-century monastery or the glorious plumage of horny puffins, but to see where Luke Skywalker eerily pronounced, "It is time for the Jedi to end." Even without the boat ride, it makes one want to retch. When we returned to the wharf, the weather had softened. The return boat trip was reasonably benign. When we docked, Elaine awaited us, looking refreshed after a quiet stroll in the green fens above Cahersaveen. "Well, how was it?" she asked. The others gushed on about the stone stairs, the view, the ruins and the Darwinian fauna experience. I looked at her, held my hand over my mouth and feigned illness. The first mate stepped in and said, "It was miserable awful. You should have come." Jerry Feehan is a national award-winning travel writer and photographer. He lives in Kimberley. See more at jerryfeehan.ca.